yielding some answers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Bond yields say a lot about what investors are thinking. When yields go down, the price goes up. It means people are buying bonds and selling stock. They're looking for safety. In the past 24 hours, bond yields have hit their lowest level in 2 years. The yield on the 10-year T-note is getting close to 4%, so you can guess what the stock markets are doing. The Asian markets closed about 2% lower. European shares are down almost 1% so far. The Dow starts Friday at 13,110. It dropped 120 points yesterday. The Nasdaq fell another 25 to 2618. The S&P 500 lost 19 to 1451. Wall Street is down 6 of the last 7 sessions. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson are in South Africa today. They'll meet with other finance leaders to talk about the subprime issue and how it's affecting economies around the world. Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg.
Though government policymakers know about interest rates and currency valuations, with the subprime crisis, they're a lot like the rest of us, largely in the dark. Jeff Gable is head of research at APSA Capital in Johannesburg.
This is something that the banks themselves are only beginning to understand where the losses are. This is not an issue that policymakers themselves have the most information on.
In South Africa, the Reserve Bank governor says the subprime turbulence is likely to complicate the work of the G20. It's already complicating emerging markets. While South African banks aren't directly involved in the subprime crisis, shares are falling in tandem with those of U.S. banks. Adrian Saville is with Cannon Asset Managers.
It's a comment on people's willingness to take risk.
He says investors are retreating from emerging markets and into traditionally safer developed markets. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. By Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Attention shoppers, welcome to the grand opening.
Time now for our final segment of Consumed, a special series from American Public Media. We've pointed out how consumer spending fuels the economy and the problems we've created from constantly buying new things. Today we ask, have we made such a mess that we'll be forced to innovate our way out of it? From our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin looks at a technology that can zap our trash into thin air.
This new trash technology is based on something as old as the sky. Not the thunder, but the lightning that goes with it. And in this case, the lightning is contained inside our reaction chamber, and the bolt never ends. This man-made lightning is so hot, most things put inside the chamber completely vaporize in seconds. The technology is called plasma gasification, and proponents say it could be the answer to our growing trash problem. Although it uses intense heat, developers insist it's not incineration. The Not In My Backyard crowd has complained for years about emissions from burning trash.
It's a non-combustion process. The waste is not burned. It's converted.
That's Dan Cohn of MIT. He was part of a team that developed a plasma gasification device for a company called Integrated Environmental Technologies. IET says its plasma melter can take a ton of trash down to 5 cubic feet in less than a minute. To see how it worked, I took some of my own trash, an old sneaker, and headed up to Richland, Washington, where IET demos its plasma melter. The stainless steel chamber where the lightning happens is about 5 feet long by 3.5 feet wide. Before the sneaker can go inside the chamber, it has to be shredded. So IET's president Jeff Surma and 4 engineers take a bandsaw to it.
Andy looks like he's having fun here.
Yeah.
How many engineers does it take to shred a sneaker? Now for the fireworks. Surma picks up the play-by-play.
It's going into the plasma zone. So first, the shoe gets processed, pre-processed in the gasifier, and then what doesn't get completely gasified there drops into the high-temperature plasma zone.
That plasma is about the temperature of the sun. Most of the sneaker is vaporized in seconds. The rest comes out looking like a blackish glass bead. IET says beads like this can be used as fill in road construction. Since it was mostly plastic, the sneaker also created about 4 gallons of a gas that could be used to make alternative fuel. Jeff Surma says rising energy prices have more firms interested in his invention. But plasma melters are still rare in the U.S. Dr. Robert Doe with the Salina Group says that's because the new technology threatens two powerful industries.
You know, we would be taking away large business for the landfill people and the incinerators. So waste companies do not want to see this technology come out. On the other hand, if we produce power, we'll be infringing and disrupting the coal business and fossil fuel burning business.
Critics say plasma technology uses too much energy and is too expensive. And Steve Bolton with McDonough Brongard Design Chemistry says the technology could send the message that trash is okay, kind of the opposite of reduce, reuse, recycle.
We see waste as a signal of design failure because products and materials can ideally be designed so that they can maintain their flows within closed loops.
In other words, products that can be recycled into items with second and even third lives. But transforming all consumer goods into products like that is a long way off. In the interim, plasma gasification might be the best way to shrink our growing trash problem with technology as elemental as lightning. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
That's one idea for the consumer economy, but we know there are more, and you might have the next big one. Share your ideas with us and with other listeners at our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.